Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Now your DOD report. The chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Senator John McCain, says he thinks negotiators from the House Armed Services Committee and his committee will wrap up their discussions within the next week or so on this year's National Defense Authorization Act. Language on defense procurement in both bills is part of the negotiation that's going on right now between those two committees. John Etherton is principal of Etherton and Associates and explains the similarities and differences in the two bills. And we'll get to that in a moment, John. But I imagine we shouldn't be surprised by the fact that defense acquisition reform is a big piece in this bill, given how important it is to both Senator McCain on the Senate side and Chairman Thornberry on the House side. Is that a fair assumption on my part?
Yes, and you could see indications of that even starting last year. Both the House and Senate committees had hearings really trying to tee up the issue and trying to reach for a very high-level oversight review in the hearings, and then they followed that up with a letter that they sent to a number of different folks around town in March asking for inputs in a fairly formal way, answers to a number of questions. And then Senator McCain actually even took that a step further, and he went out in the summer with a request to people that he felt might have some meaningful input through the Governmental Affairs Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations and asked people to write a five-page piece that they could incorporate in a compendium on acquisition reform and where do we go from here. So this has been a big issue for both of them.
And do you see components of the work that you contributed to that, other people did, do you see components of that in the Senate version of the bill, John?
Yes, I do. I think it's mostly in sort of looking at the broader issues. The areas where, for example, the work that we did in the NDIA report, where you've seen maybe a little more specific adoption has been in the acquisition workforce provisions, where we had made a number of suggestions to increase the empowerment of the federal acquisition workforce and to increase the funding that would be available through the Defense Acquisition Workforce Development Fund.
The differences between the House version and the Senate version are big, small, in between, inconsequential? What's your sense of that, John?
I think they're fairly more than inconsequential. I think they're sort of, depending on what the issues are, you'll see sort of a different philosophy. I think what's interesting is you can actually line the provisions up. Most of them are in Title 8, although in the Senate bill they're scattered throughout other titles as well. But you can actually line them up just in terms of subject areas like acquisition workforce, major defense acquisition programs, contract type, commercial items, and you get sort of a menu of things touching on a lot of the same issues in different ways. If I were to characterize the differences, I would say that it really comes from the perspective of the respective chairman of the two committees. I think Chairman Thornberry believes that he has a little more time to sort of flesh issues out, that his chairmanship is secure at least for several more years, and that in that kind of a situation, he wants to be very deliberate in how he approaches the issues. And so the House sort of is more of an incremental approach, I guess, in the first steps along that incremental pathway. I think Senator McCain's perspective is that he may not be chairman in 2 years, and so that the next 2 years are really going to be critical to try to move some reform. So I would characterize a lot of the areas where you have similar issues addressed in the House and Senate. I think the Senate approach has tended to be a little more aggressive.
When you look at what has come out of the House, it seems to me that a lot of those provisions also jive with what Chairman Thornberry came up with when he studied the defense acquisition issue and potential reform structures when he was still number two to Chairman McKeon in the last Congress. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair observation, you think?
Right. I think he was pretty clear about signaling his moves in terms of some of the conversations that he had last year and even early this year in the public forum. They also had a process where they tried to get out a draft bill, which they were successful in March, with a lot of report language and sort of philosophical clarity around what they were trying to do, and to let the acquisition community in general take a look at it and provide the committee with additional input. So he's been pretty clear about what his priorities are now for some time.
John Etherton's principal of Etherton and Associates, and watching the defense authorization bills that are now under negotiation on Capitol Hill. What would it mean if we got a bill next week, as Senator McCain talked about? Is this as controversial as it would head to President Obama's desk as some of the appropriations bills that he's already signaled he wouldn't sign if they come to him in their present forms?
Yeah, I think there's sort of different layers of controversy with this. I think the big one, obviously, is the decision in the Congress to try to transfer funds to the Overseas Contingency Operations accounts in order to not have those funds subject to the cap under the Budget Control Act. And that's where the big disagreement is between Congress right now and the White House, because that a similar mechanism was not provided for the non-defense discretionary funding. But there are other controversies in the bill as well. I would characterize one of the bigger ones in terms of the acquisition issues is the degree to which the oversight of major defense acquisition programs should be moved from the Office of the Secretary of Defense to the individual services, and that's Section 843 in the Senate bill.
What's the positives and negatives? We had the Government Accountability Office on talking about their recent work in that area. Former Air Force Chief John Jumper was on. He's obviously in favor of the idea of the chiefs being more involved in this process as they were in the past. But I'm not getting much of a sense, other than the remarks that Secretary Kendall has made, that the timing would be bad, as to the nuts and bolts of why it shouldn't happen that way.
Well, I think the concern that I pick up, and I think what was embodied in the current process from the Packard Commission and the Goldwater-Nichols reforms of the mid-1980s, was the idea that by having the Office of the Secretary of Defense more involved from start to finish in overseeing the major programs, that you would have a higher degree of governance over the process, more consistency in the way that management would be approached. On the other side has been this concern about the layering of reviews and sort of how much of that is really value added in terms of the time that it causes, and I think that's really where the debate is right now.
Well, and the comment that General Jumper made that I thought was particularly noteworthy, given that he was around as the F-35 was being developed, was that the engineers and end users seem to be out of the process a lot earlier the way that it's done now than the way that it was done before the Packard Commission and the Goldwater Nichols reforms.
Well, and that's where I think the real question is on the different trade-offs, because I'm not sure that there's necessarily a magic answer which will get you 100% of what you want one way or the other.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of, you know, how do you balance all these competing desires that you have for the process, given how complex some of these acquisitions are.
And that's why I wonder, after speaking to him, if there's not some kind of a middle ground where OSD continues to maintain its influence and involvement in projects, but somehow the generals and engineers and admirals and engineers continue to have some input as well.
Well, and I think if you look at the Senate Section 801, which deals with the roles and responsibility of the service chiefs, which everybody in this debate has endorsed, that's one approach that at least starts moving you down that road. It's a separate issue from whether the services or OSD should be responsible for major programs, but it does address some of those issues. I think the real question is, given the very short time that the House and Senate Armed Services Committees have set for trying to get a conference report done, how much of this can really be fleshed out in those conversations?
It all seems to come down to who owns what every single time, doesn't it, John?